exist to see people reconciled to God and to one another. Hello, and thank you for visiting us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoyed this week's message and hope to see you soon.
Because, you know, as I was thinking about, like, what to end the year with, I was like, man, like, how do we end this year? Like, what do we do about the end of 2015? Like, we've had an awesome year, man. We've seen, like, God do extraordinary things in our church for the past 12 months. Like, just every month we've just been, like, or really over the past 2 months, it's been, like, crazy. We've been seeing God just do amazing things, people getting saved and people connecting with the church in a greater way. And so it's like, man, so how do we go into 2016 in light of all of that? Like, what do we do now in light of that? Like, what is God speaking to our heart and our minds to transition us into this new year? And one thing that God just, it seemed like he just kind of kept dropping, like, in my mind, and I just kind of kept thinking about, was this word foundation. Foundation. Having the right foundation going into 2016. So if you're taking notes, we've actually provided some space on the back of that card that we gave you where you can take some notes. If you're taking notes and you're like a type A personality, like I need some structure in my life, I'm just simply calling this message, having the right foundation. Starting 2016 and ending 2015 with the right foundation. I think that's so important because, like, just like, you know, a house, if you don't have, or a building or infrastructure, if you don't have the right foundation, it doesn't really matter what you build, like, with, or what you use to construct a superstructure or an infrastructure. If the foundation is not right, eventually that nice, glamorized, bedazzled type house is going to fall apart. Like, it doesn't matter, like, what's on top, or it doesn't matter what you see, but the foundation has much to do with things that you and I don't see. And so I want to read a scripture out of Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27, and it's actually one of my favorite scriptures throughout the New Testament. I feel like I say that about every scripture I read. It's like, this is my favorite, and this is my favorite. But this is, I think, one of my favorites because I think it really captures the whole essence of what our lives should look like. Because I think a lot of times, like, we can kind of shape our lives around so many different things. We can kind of build out our lives to be built on certain things or to be built with certain things. But we kind of see through time that those things really didn't matter. That our lives weren't really as significant when they were shaped around certain things as we thought they were. So here's what Jesus is saying to his listeners. He's been kind of preaching this long sermon. Just like any good preacher, we just preach long. Some of y'all are like, no, don't do that today. I'm ready to get home. But Jesus has been preaching for a while. And this sermon that he's actually engaging in is oftentimes called the Sermon on the Mount. And as I've said before, when we kind of shared from one of these sermons or one of these passages within this Sermon on the Mount, he's sharing us on the backside of a mountain. And so there's some listeners who are gathered here and who are really just kind of listening to all the things that Jesus has to say in relationship to just a wide variety of topics. And so he kind of ends it transitioning to capture the whole essence of what he's been saying. And really in these past three chapters, 5, 6, and 7, but he kind of ends it with like this thrust right here in Matthew 7, verse 24 through 27. This is what it says. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, I don't know kind of where you are in that spectrum. You know, you're like a rock in the sand. This doesn't make any bit of sense. But let me kind of modernize and put it into contemporary terms. How many of you guys remember that story, The Three Little Pigs? Just by show of hands, right? Three little pigs. So you know the story. You had one little piggy, like, he built this house with a certain material. The antagonist comes, the big bad wolf comes, blows the entire house down, right? Just tragic scene. Just heartbreaking. Pig put all that work into building that house, and all of a sudden, wolf just comes, blows it down, right? Then you have another piggy. He comes, builds another house, right? He's like, man, this is awesome. This is like MTV Cribs from back in the day. Like, I got the bomb diggity house. Diggity, that's like a 90s term kind of right there. I just realized that. But he's like, I built this house. Man, this is awesome. Can you just imagine, like, he's sitting in the crib. He's got his feet kicked up. He's got his little curly tail. He's just chilling. He's got, like, a pina colada in his hand or something like that. And all of a sudden, big bad wolf comes, blows the house down. Tragic. Sad. But then you had one smart piggy. It's like, I'm going to build my house out of bricks. Straight bricks. Big bad wolf comes, tries to blow the house down. Does not happen. Tries to kill the pig. Does not happen. He ends up being dinner and so on and so forth. That's kind of like the story, right? Like, now, I don't know about you guys, but that story, like, the older I get, I'm like, man, you know, that's a weird story. And the reason why it's weird is because the story emphasizes so much to do and focuses so much on, like, what the pigs built the houses with versus what the pigs should have built their house on. Like the story has much to do with, like, how the pigs built their house with clay or with straw or whatever, or with bricks. But the story doesn't have anything to do with, like, a particular foundation. And I think that's important because, like, if we don't get the whole mentality of building our lives, which is kind of, like, metaphorically represented in the houses here in this passage of Scripture, if we don't build our lives on the right foundation, like, life is just going to come and just blow our lives apart. Now, I know that may not be good news. Like, you may not want to hear that on the last Sunday of 2015 because you're like, this is supposed to be good news, Pastor. And you're kind of saying something to me that kind of sounds like bad news. But I promise you, it's good news. And as I said, like, we build things with a certain foundation. Like, this building rests on a foundation. But isn't it interesting, like, how many people, like, we ourselves who are not really, like, engineers by nature and we're not architectural engineers by nature, we put a lot of emphasis on the decor. Like, man, how does it look? Like, but engineers are like, it doesn't matter how it looks. What is it built on? Because this thing could look grand. Like, you could have the 5-story house with 10-car garage and with this lawn, like, 50 acres wide and long and just crazy type of landscape. But if it's not built on the right foundation, it's not going to last. And I think when God looks at our lives, he's oftentimes asking us this question, like, hey, how have you built your life? Like, what's the foundation of your life? Now, oftentimes, like, because we're engineers by nature, whether you believe it or not, because we use certain things to build our lives with. So, like, we'll use money to build portfolios, or we'll use money to do certain things, or we'll build our lives around what people say about us or how people look at us. We'll build our lives around, like, what kind of wardrobe we have. Like, we'll shape ourselves around all of these other different things. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with having clothes. All those things are great. Nothing wrong with having cars. All that stuff is good. You need transportation. You need clothes. You need food. All that good stuff. But the problem is when we begin to build our lives and shape our lives around those things. The problem is when we begin to put our hope and trust in things that really don't have any type of firm foundation. So the question I'm going to ask you and I is this today. It's like, what have you built your life on? Like, as you look through 2015, maybe you just survey your whole life for the past few years. Like, what has been the focal point of your life? Maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's the spouse. Maybe it's the kids. Maybe it's the career. And those things are good until we begin to put them in a place that only God himself should occupy. Like, when we begin to put what I call, like, these messianic expectations. Like, messianic is just like a fancy word for, like, Jesus and being Savior. Like, when we begin to put these messianic expectations on people or on places or on things, what we'll see is that they don't hold up. Eventually, it's going to fall apart. Like, you'll just end up MC Hammer broke if you shape your life around that. Like, when I begin to build my life around things that really can't hold me up, I'll be frustrated. And so Jesus, in this passage, he kind of gets to the crux of it. He gets to the main point of it. It's almost like Jesus said, like, everything that he said in Matthew 5 and in Matthew 6, talking about the Beatitudes and talking about loving your enemies as yourself, all the good stuff. And it's almost like he kind of just was building all of that up to get to this point right here. It's almost like he said, hey, guys, I said all that to say this right here. Build your life on the right foundation. And can you imagine what the listeners were probably asking? What is the right foundation? I imagine Jesus probably had that in mind when he was getting ready to tell this parable. So it's almost like they're asking in their minds, like, well, what is he talking about? What is the right foundation? So then he begins to transition to talking about this story. And so he tells this parable. Parable is just like an earthly, like, story that has some type of spiritual truth. And so he tells this parable about two guys who had two different approaches to building their houses, which is really symbolic or metaphorical for our lives. So he says, hey, one guy built his house on the rock, right? And when the floods and when the winds and when the rain came down, that house stood firm. Another guy built his house on sand. And when the floods came, when the rains came, when the winds came, that house came down with a great crash. And they're probably still thinking, like, what do you mean by this, Jesus? And Jesus goes a little bit further. He says, hey, anybody who hears my words and does them is like the man who builds his house on the rock. But any person who hears my words and does not do them is like the man who built his house on the sand. Now, you may be like wondering, like just like me when I was reading this passage, why would you use this type of parable? Like, what does sand, building on sand and building on a rock have to do? Now, one of the things you got to understand is like the context that Jesus is in and that he's like speaking to people in. Like, when he's making this story and telling this story, what he's really kind of giving them a picture of is this Palestinian type of desert. They're in this area of Palestine, and it kind of has like many deserts and all that type of stuff. And so he's like, hey, within the desert, within this kind of type of area, one guy decides to build his house on something firm. Another guy decides to build his house on sand. Now, the reason why that's important is because in the desert, in that type of desert, you would have all these floods and you would have all these type of rains that would happen on a regular basis. And so Jesus is saying this, like, hey, if you build your house on rock, even when the storms come, it's still going to stand. But the foolish person builds their house on the sand. And then when the floods come, that house gets swept away. It's an interesting contrast that Jesus saying here. So I just want to look at a few verses. He says this, verse 24, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell down and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Now notice what Jesus says. He says everyone. Like, that means everybody. Not E-V-E, but everybody, E-R, body. Like, everybody who hears these words of mine and does them is like the one who builds his house on the rock. Here's what he's saying. He says, everybody's going to have the opportunity to hear my words. Everybody. And I think that has even more significance in our day and time, especially with all these mobile devices that we kind of have. Like, you could be chatting with somebody in Istanbul right now. It's weird. But everybody will have the opportunity to hear the gospel. Now, there's still like some languages and still some cultures and still some ethnicities and whatnot all throughout the world that still have not yet heard the gospel, maybe the way that we have. But Jesus is saying that everybody will hear my words at some point. And when everybody hears my words, there's only one or two responses in a way that you can respond to my words with. Either obedience or disobedience. Like, I either respond to Jesus' words by following him or by doing my own thing. I like how Jesus makes things cut and dry. It's like really simple. Either you are or you're not. That's kind of the tone that this whole Sermon on the Mount had. Like, either you're a follower of me or you're not. He said, you will be able to tell whether or not somebody's a true follower of me by looking at their fruit. So it's like, you can't say you're a Christian and you're a follower of Jesus and you have the love of Christ, but you cuss everybody out, you don't forgive anybody, you hold grudges. He's like, hold on. I don't really know if that's my disciple. Like John 13, he says that you will know, people will know that you're my disciples based upon whether you love one another. So like, if I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I say I hate people, well, we got to ask the question, like, am I really a follower of Jesus? Because one who's received this unconditional love of Christ, even for the people that get on your last nerves, you still say, I'm going to love them though. I'm going to love them till Jesus gets them. I'm going to just surround them. Just get on their nerves. Just send them encouraging text messages, even though they just cuss me out. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to buy them nice gifts for Christmas. I'm just going to do acts of kindness just randomly for them, even though they don't deserve it, because I didn't deserve the love that Jesus gave to me. That's kind of what Jesus, that's the tone that Jesus has in this passage of Scripture. So look at verse 24. He says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Then in verse 26, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on a rock. Built his house on sand. Everybody's going to hear it. So like, we're in here right now. We're in this service right now. So you cannot walk out of here saying that, I don't know what Jesus wants me to do as a follower of Jesus, as his follower. He's like, no. You've already heard it. Now, the proof in the pudding is on you and I. Like, what are we going to do with what he's called us to do? And I just want to say, like that means it's not just about what he's said and showed us in his word, but because we're following Jesus, if you're a follower of Christ and you have a relationship with Christ, there are certain things that God is calling you and speaking to you right now that he's calling you and I to do. And so he's like, hey, if I'm calling you to do something and yet you don't submit to it, it's like you're building your life, your house on a sand. It's not going to hold up. And maybe for some of us, that's kind of what 2015 has been like. You've been trying to figure out, like, why has 2015 been so frustrating? Like, why has it been so terrible? Like, why has it been like this on a regular basis? Can I ask you this? Have you and I been truly submitting to the things that Jesus is speaking to our lives? Because I think a lot of times, like, we try to spiritualize a lot of stuff. Like, I'm just waiting on the Lord. The Lord already spoke to you. I just think, you know, it's going to cost me too much. You doggone right, it's going to cost you a lot. Like, obedience for Jesus meant going to a cross. And if I'm a follower of Christ, that means I'm going to have to carry my cross as well. Like, for some reason in Western Christianity, we like the comfortable Christianity. Like, man, like, it's not God's will for my AC to go out. What you mean it's not God's will for your AC to go out? You do realize there's people in other countries that don't have a fan. Really? Like, if I'm attaching my value as a follower of Christ based upon superficial things, then I'm always going to be disappointed because I'm always going to think that God is supposed to do what I want him to do. So it's like, he exists for me, not for him. That's weird, man. But that's kind of like us drinking the Kool-Aid Christianity from America. I just want to be comfortable. Like Jesus said, I didn't call you to be comfortable. Matter of fact, this may kind of mess your theology up. Like, oftentimes Jesus will call you and I out of our comfort zones so that we can trust him. You don't want to hear that. I know. That may explain why you've been going through a lot of discomfort this year. Because it's not about God not loving you. No, because God loves you so much. He loves you so much that he's willing to move you out of your comfort zone so that way it can stretch your faith. So that you can grow in your faith. Like, imagine if that doctor's report didn't come in. Your faith would not be where it is right now. So now when it comes to the next season and the next trial, you want to be able to trust God big because of the things that happened in your past. God takes us through hard moments so that way we could put our faith and trust in him. Notice in this story, like in verse 24, what Jesus says. He says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. I think a lot of times when we read through the scripture, we'll literally read through this scripture. Like, we won't kind of capture what Jesus is saying. Notice that Jesus didn't say, like, I'm going to protect you from the storm. Storms are going to come, right? Like, we kind of see that in the natural. It doesn't matter where you live. Storms coming, y'all. Tornadoes, hurricanes, that stuff happens. We can't stop that from happening. God can, but oftentimes God won't because he wants to show us not that he can protect us from the storm, but that he can protect us in the storm. And when we build our lives on what Jesus himself has said, when we shape our lives around the gospel, when we shape our lives around the Messiah himself, he will be with us in the storm. Like, that's what this whole Christmas season was about. Like, Emmanuel, meaning God with us. It's a promise, meaning that God will never leave you nor forsake you. That if I shape my life around the gospel, if I shape my life around the good news of Jesus, man, y'all, he's going to be with me. So notice that Jesus calls the person who builds their life around his words a wise man because he's that of the person who builds his life on the rock. James 1:22 says it like this, let's not just be hearers of the word, but let's be doers of the word. Like, now I've kind of been in ministry for some years, and I've been saved like since a young age. And I'm guilty of this because I can look back in my past and say, yep, I know that those type of people existed because I was that type of person. And what I mean by this is this, like, we can know plenty of scripture, but we don't actually live by the scripture. Man, we can spit out John 3:16 with the best of them. Romans 8:28. Philippians 4:13, Isaiah 40:31, mount up on wings like eagles, but I don't want to talk about the eagles. It's not godly right now. Not at all. Like, we know all these scriptures, but we don't live by them, right? So it's like, man, I know what God says, but I'm still going to do what I want to do, right? Like anybody who's a parent and has been a parent, you know that with your kids. Like, they know exactly what they're supposed to do. And there's nothing worse than, like, them knowing what they're supposed to do and then looking at you and not doing it. It's like, boy, you got some nervous, some audacity. You just going to throw down the speaker when I told you not to? You're just going to go hit your sister even though I told you not to? Like, that's kind of the stage that we're in right now. We're in that toddler stage, sanctification, like, 10 times. Like, God is working hard on our long suffering. It's been some long suffering moments. And anybody who has toddlers or have had a toddler, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So don't look at me like that. You know exactly what I'm talking about. But oftentimes, we don't want to fall in line with the scripture. So, like, we'll do things like ask God, can you just give me more patience? But it's like, cool, but you won't show love to the person that you don't like when I bring them into your life. Like, I'm trying to grow you in this, but you won't shape your life around the gospel. So he says, don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. Here's a question I want all of us to ask ourselves. What is God calling you to do right now? Maybe it's to reconcile with that person. Maybe it's to forgive that person. Maybe it's to love that person. Maybe it's to invite somebody to worship with you. Maybe it's to take that step of faith that God has burdened you with. Like, God has called my wife and I to take a crazy step of faith next year. And I'm going to just be real. I don't even know if we could do it. Isn't it interesting, like, when you get in those pressure cooker moments, like, I don't know if I can do this, but you've been in plenty of pressure cooker situations before where you said the same thing and God did it? Why do we do that? That's kind of where we are right now. God, I don't know. He's like, boy, didn't I help you before? Wasn't I with you before? Like, you thought it was crazy before, and now you look back at that, like, man, that was easy. God's like, this is the same thing, dude. It's just masked differently. So let's not just be hearers of the word. Let's be doers of the word. What's the thing that God is calling you to right now? What has God burdened your heart with? Like, maybe that means I need to play a more active role in my church, whatever church I'm a part of, whether it's this church or some other church. Like, what is God calling me to do? Because oftentimes, we like to get very short-term memory when it comes to the things that God's called us to do. We only want to step out on faith if we can see what we're stepping into. We only want to be obedient as long as it doesn't cost us anything. But Jesus is like, guys, shape your life around my words. Let's look at verse 25. He says, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. I said this earlier, and I'm going to say it again. You are going to go through storms. Tell the person beside you, you're going to face some storms. You're going to face some. You are going to go through tough times. Like, I know it's not popular preaching, but it's the truth. Matter of fact, some of us can attest to that because you're in the middle of a tough moment right now. You're in the middle of a tough season right now. And if we could just be real about it, some of us have been praying, God, asking God, God, when is it going to end? Like, when is it going to finish? Like, how much longer do I have to suffer? How much longer do I have to go through this tough time? But Jesus says, hey, if you build your life around me, even though you go through the tough time, I'll be with you in the tough time. Even though you go through the most stressful moments, I will still be with you. And this is the benefit of being rooted and grounded in the gospel. This is why it's so important for you and I to be rooted and founded on Christ. Let me ask this question. Who do we take our theological cues from? Or who do we listen to the most? Because if we're listening to Facebook, it's going to be up and down. If we're listening to CNN, it's going to be up and down. Fox News, it's going to be up and down. ABC, it's going to be up and down. The View, The Voice, whatever. The Real, whatever. Like, if we're taking our cues from everybody else except Jesus, we're going to be on shaky ground. And our lives have been disappointed because we've oftentimes put our faith and trust in things that weren't Jesus. And then we cry out to God, God, why did you let this happen to me? And God's like, I didn't let anything happen to you. I didn't cause it. This just happened because you misplaced your faith. Like, your faith was in the wrong place. Here's what I said. That the blessing doesn't come in hearing God's word, but in obeying God's word. Right? So we'll say things like this. All things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Right? Rejoice, shout, roll around on the floor, run around the building 7 times so the walls of Jericho can fall down, that type of thing. But we don't like to hear what Paul said before that we would experience tough times. God, the blessing is not in hearing. The blessing is in obeying. Like, we don't get cool points with God because, like, we heard the word. Like, it doesn't come down to us just hearing it. He's like, hey, what have you done with what you've heard? Right? So every message, like, every week we've been preaching this gospel. Every week we've been preaching, like, the same thing. Put my trust in Christ in just different ways. We call it just a different series. We kind of may come at it a different way. But it all kind of has the same thing. Pointing me to Jesus so that I can be reconciled to God and also be reconciled to one another. So, like, what have I done with that? Like, am I shaping my life around that? Because if I'm not, then I'm headed for disaster. But if I've shaped my life around that, even when I go through the worst moments in my life, God will be faithful through those moments in my life. And I know most of us in here who are followers of Jesus, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because you've hit some storm moments. This year, you've got some bad reports. This year, you've had the unthinkable happen. This year, you've had tragedy strike your family, and yet you're still here because God is faithful. Because God is good. Because God has been looking out for you. Because God cares about you. Because God loves you. That's actually a good place to clap your hands. Because God will never leave you nor forsake you. He's with you, y'all. And he's just like, hey, would you just put your trust in me? How about you get out of the driver's seat and let me drive? How about you let me do my thing? Like, I have more experience navigating the wheel than you. I've been doing it since forever. Like, I created you, I created everything that you see. Like, I think I know what I'm doing. That's what Jesus is really calling out to us to do here in Matthew 7. Verse 26, he then kind of transitions. He lifts up this contrast with the person who actually listens and obeys. Verse 26, he says, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. That hearing my word is part one. But obeying my word is what Jesus is saying is part two. Here's my hope and prayer for us, like, as a church. My hope and prayer is that we wouldn't just be a church that, like, knows scripture, but, like, we would actually be a church that lives it. Like, I never want anybody to be able to say, like, yeah, man, them people from the Bridge Church, man, like, they know scripture, but they don't know the God of the scripture. Like, I don't want to be labeled as the counterfeit Christians in the city of Hampton. You know, like those people. I don't want to be labeled as those people. They know a lot. They sing. They talk a good game. They talk about all these great things, but they don't actually live it. Like, they know that they should go make disciples. They know that they should go share the love of Jesus with people, but they don't actually do it. I don't want to be those type of people, because that's not what a true follower of Jesus is about. Like, I don't want to be the type of person who says, I love God in public, but then I go on social media and blast people. Like, I don't want to be that person, because that's kind of a contradiction to what it means to be a follower of Jesus. He says, hear my words, but don't just hear them, but obey them. But the person who hears them and doesn't obey them is like the person who built their life on the sand. If you don't have the right foundation, shaped around Christ, shaped around Jesus, it's not going to last at all. Sand represents anything that we build our life on or shape our life around other than God's word. What are you shaping your life around? Here's a good indicator of what you and I shape our lives around. Where do you and I spend the most money? That's a good place to start. Jesus says, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So where do I spend a lot of my money? If I spend a lot of money on my kids, more so than I do fulfilling the Great Commission, more so than I do fulfilling God's calling for my life, they probably become an idol. An idol is anything that I put in the place of God, right? Like, if I'm spending all my money on all these tangible things, that has probably become an idol of some sort. Jesus is saying, hey, why don't you take my words, idolize me, because I'm the one who can handle it. Because the thing that you often will idolize, when it lets you down, you will begin to demonize. And if you're not idolizing the right one, which should be Christ Jesus, if I'm not putting him on a pedestal, if I'm not lifting him high in my life, if he's not supreme, if he's not at the center of my life, then what will happen is my life will experience all of these different frustrations. And then verse 27 will happen. The rain will fall, the floods will come, the winds will blow and beat against that house, beat against my life, and it will fall, and great will be the fall of it. I think some of us here have experienced some letdowns and some falls. I don't think all of them have been just because of our disobedience. I think some of them has just simply because God has taken us through some valley-type moments. But I think some of them have been attributed to the fact that we know exactly what God has called us to do, but we just won't do it out of fear, out of stubbornness, out of doubt, out of worry, out of anxiety. Whatever reason, it's kind of choked our ability to be able to implement and to be able to live by what God has actually called us to do. And going into 2016, my hope and prayer is that we would make a determination, and we would have a mindset that going into 2016, I am not going to do things my way anymore, because my way doesn't work. My way isn't consistent. My way lets me down. My way frustrates other people. But Jesus, being the way, being the truth, being the life, his way is perfect. His way never gives up. His way never lets down. His way is always perfect. That's my hope and prayer. That's what I hope our determination is going into 2016. That I'm not going to live life according to my own standard anymore. That I'm going to build my life on Jesus Christ himself. That I'm going to shape my life around the gospel. God allows storms to come into my life to reveal the foundation of my life. So sometimes God will allow storms to come just to show you what you've built and shape your life around. So in other words, sometimes God will allow people to walk out of your life to show you that your life was shaped around that person, but I'm telling you that you don't need that person. Like sometimes God will allow the job to leave my life because he wants to teach me that he is the source of my resources, not that. Like sometimes God will maybe even allow my health to fail, not to cause this discouragement, but to strengthen my faith so that I don't put my faith and trust in doctors, but I put my faith and trust in the great I am, the one who heals, the one who gives me strength, the one who gives me health. That's why God sometimes takes us through these storms. He takes us through these storms to reveal the foundation of our life. And if anything, that's the love of God, because he's revealing it to us so we have many opportunities to put our faith and trust in him before it's too late. Because once you and I go into the grave 6 feet deep, it's over. Like, you don't get another chance. It's a wrap, right? And Jesus also says, like, hey, tomorrow's not promised, guys. So don't say, hey, you know what? I'm going to put it off till next Sunday. It's like, next Sunday's not guaranteed. Seriously, like it's not. Like we make all these grand plans, 2015, 2016, 5 years down the road. Like I see myself here in 30 years and Jesus is like, that's awesome. But where do I fit into this thing? Like where do I come into this plan? Like how do I play a role in this? Like where's my responsibility in this? And oftentimes we kind of leave him out. Here's kind of what we do. I've been guilty of it, and I think some of us have done the same thing. Like, we'll come up with all these plans and we'll say, God, please bless them. God's like, what? This don't got nothing to do with what I said. His mentality is like, hey, why don't you ask me to reveal to you what my plans are and then ask me to fulfill it through your life? That's a life of fulfillment and satisfaction. That's a life of joy. I bless God that certain doors in my life that I wanted to be open, closed. Like, if y'all knew the story as to, like, how we even came into planting the church, it would blow your mind. I'm not going to tell y'all that right now. But if you knew the story, it'd blow your mind. Like, I bless God for closed doors. Like, moments where it's like, man, God, have you forgotten about us? He's like, no. You're closer now than you've ever been before. Like, you're closer to fulfilling my will for your life more than you've ever been before. And so I close doors to direct you to the place that I've called you to be. Because like us, all of us do it. Like if he doesn't close the door, we'll try to walk into a place that's really not for us. And then we get frustrated when it doesn't look like the place that we wanted to be. And God's like, I never wanted you to be there in the first place. And here's sometimes what God will do just because we're so stubborn. He's like, you know what? I'm going to let you walk through that. I'm going to give you what you asked for. It happened all throughout scripture. People would ask for things like a king. And everybody was like, God, give us a king. Give us a king. Everybody else got kings. Give us one. Don't that sound like hits? So everybody else got animal crackers. I want some. God's like, I didn't want to give you animal crackers. I want to give you a buffet. Some of y'all are like, buffets don't do anything for me. I wanted to give you Olive Garden. Right? That doesn't do anything for you. Chili's, Chick-fil-A. Cookout, am I somewhere in there? Like, whatever your thing is. He's like, that's what I really wanted to do for you. But if as long as you kind of just look at everything from this natural perspective and just kind of want things that you see everybody else has and not build your life around what I've called you to build it on, it'll always lead to a life of dissatisfaction. And Jesus is like, I want to give you life. A life apart from Christ will always fall apart. Always. It will always fall apart. It's like the story of Humpty Dumpty. You will have a great fall, and nobody will be able to put you back together. And it will bring you to this point in place where you have to trust God. God, I need you to restore to me the joy of my salvation. I need you to rebuild me. That's why Jesus oftentimes says this principle and this truth about being born again. Because I need like a renewal. I need to be reborn. I need to put my faith and trust in Jesus if I haven't already done so, so that I can experience what he said in John 10:10, that I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. And I believe all of us want that life that Jesus gives. But the question is, are you and I willing to build our lives around the life that Jesus says we need to do? Like, are you and I willing to step out on faith and be obedient to what he's called us to do? What is the major faith step that God is calling you to do in 2016? The thing that you've been putting off for like 5 years. And you've been wondering why your life has been stalling out. God's like, hey, this thing right here, all it needs is a small tweak. And you'll see the favor that I have for you. It'll just run rampant in your life. And then you'll be like, man, why didn't I do this a long time ago? It's almost like getting on a roller coaster. I remember when I got on this big roller coaster at Busch Gardens called Griffin. I hate like drops. I hate straight drops. I think they're of the devil. I really do. I think they're straight from the pit of hell. I just don't understand like that. But I engaged in it this time, right? I was kind of going to Busch Gardens, and for years I would see this humongous ride called Griffin, and I'm like, I am not getting on that. Like, you couldn't even pay me to get on that. That's like suicide, right? And then you kind of try to get all spiritual, like quote scripture. I'm not testing the Lord, my God. Like, come on, man, it's a roller coaster. You're not really testing God. But, you know, like all the kind of mask fear. And then one year, yeah, I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. If I die, I die. I'm just going to see Jesus. Lord, take care of my wife. Take care of the kids. Get on a roller coaster. Go through that drop. After the ride is done, I was like, man, that was the best roller coaster ever. Why didn't I do this 5 years ago? I believe all of us have moments like that where you've been called by God to trust in him in a greater way, but out of fear you won't do it. But when you trust in God, you'll see, why didn't I do this years ago? Like, why did it take me so long, right? But before you kind of throw a pity party over that, bless God that through his grace, he gave you more opportunities to get it right. Like, if he just wanted to quit on you, he would have just let you quit a long time ago. But because of his love for us, he continued to pursue us. He continued to give us opportunities. He continued to open up the door for us. So my question is this: what is God calling you to do? And what foundation have you built your life on? Like, what is it shaped around? Is it shaped around what people say about you? Or is it shaped around what Jesus has said about you? Now, it's interesting because as I close in Ephesians chapter 2, verses like 19 through 20, when Jesus says here that the guy who listens to my words and obeys them is like the one who builds his life on the rock. It's always interesting because you always have to like correlate what Jesus is saying with the whole breadth of what scripture is saying, because everything is pointing to him. He says that in John 5, like all the scriptures, they point to me. And so here's what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. He says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Cornerstone is the rock. Jesus is the rock. Not Dwayne Johnson, not People's Eyebrow, People's Champion. No, Jesus is the rock of ages, the rock of our salvation. And he says that when you build your life on me, no matter what comes, no matter the storms that come, no matter the setbacks that come, no matter the disappointment that comes, no matter the rejection that comes, no matter the disappointment that comes, when you build your life on me, you will see my grace, you will see my faithfulness, you will see my love. I will be with you. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. I will be your shepherd who walks through the valley of the shadow of death, because I am with you. My staff and my rod, they are with you. My presence is with you. When you build your life on Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, the only rock that matters, the only foundation that can actually hold your life up through hell and through high water, the only one who can sustain you through good and bad. That is when you will experience the joy of the Lord. That is when you will experience satisfaction like never before. The satisfaction that you and I try to find in all of these other places, all of these other things, you will find them in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is the good news. That going into 2016, I don't have to build my life on anything else except Christ Jesus. I don't have to shape my life around anything else except Christ Jesus. Now, I know for some of us that's like, Pastor, that's not deep enough. Like, going to the deep stuff. This is the deep stuff. It's the deep stuff, y'all. Like, people miss this. People are like, will go out of church and say, oh, yeah, that's cool. That's a nice, cute scripture. That's real cute. But that doesn't do anything for, like, my brokenness. Like, I'm broke. I'm broke as a joke. I have nothing. Like MC Hammer broke. It's a negative. My bank account is red. Like, what do I do about that? How does that help me? This helps you. Because when you build your life on Christ, he becomes your bread of heaven. He becomes your manna from God. He becomes your substance. He becomes your resource. He becomes the well that never runs dry. And last time I checked, Jesus did create everything with God the Father, with God the Holy Spirit back in eternity. Last time I checked, Jesus did feed 5,000 people with like 2 pieces of fish and 5 loaves of bread. Do you not think that Jesus can resurrect your bank account? Like, I think sometimes we just kind of miss the whole power of the resurrection. It's like, Jesus, yeah, he did rise on the third day, but I got cancer. Do you not realize that he is the one who controls things? Like, if he's allowed cancer to come into your life, it's not to say that you are defeated. It's not to say that life is over. No. It's to show you that he is faithful and that he's going to heal me of my cancer, whether it's in this life or the next. That's the good news. That's what it means. And when I put my hope and trust in him, nothing else matters. That's why Paul can say in Philippians 3, that everything that was to my profit, we preached about this a few weeks ago, everything that was to my profit, I count as a loss. Nothing compares to knowing Jesus Christ and him crucified. Nothing compares to that. So here's my challenge to us. Hey, stop putting your faith and trust in all these other things and all these other people. Like, stop shaping your life around other foundations. Stop chasing this job opportunity and that job opportunity. Start chasing the Good Shepherd. Stop thinking that your joy is going to be found based upon a relationship with another person. No, your joy is going to be found in a relationship with the Savior. That's where your joy is found. Like yesterday when my Eagles were getting plummeted. It's nasty. I didn't even watch the second half of the game. That's how bad it was. I just kind of saw that it was going down a bad path. I'm like, y'all not going to mess up my spirit before service. It's not going to do that. Y'all not going to mess with my joy. And then I began to sit back and I was like, I really thank God that I'm content in Christ. Because I literally have known people who have attached their identity to like their football teams or their favorite basketball teams. And when their team goes into a slump, they go into a slump. God, thank you that you have kept me from getting all worked up over some dudes throwing around a ball that at the end of the day can't purchase my salvation, haven't purchased my salvation, didn't resurrect, didn't die for my sins. Thank you that it's not attributed to that. Some of us are thinking, oh, that's real trivial. It's the same thing with your job. Like, we get worked up over our jobs. Somebody cusses us out, we're all done. Like, we hear about let goes happening, we hear about all these different things happening, and we're just messed up. And Jesus is like, hey, why don't you put your faith and trust in me? I got you. I'm gonna provide for you. I'm gonna be with you. I'm gonna preserve you. Some of us are worried about our kids. Like, how do I raise my kid in this crazy world? And Jesus is like, I was a kid once too. And I turned out fine. And by the power of God working through your family and working through your life, as you continue to shepherd your children properly, to know the great I am, to know Jesus, to build their lives on Christ Jesus, the cornerstone, they too will be okay. Build your life on Christ Jesus. So as we go into this new year, here's the thing. You need to decide what your life will be built upon. Either it will be built on a weak foundation or it will be built upon Jesus himself. What is the thing that God is calling you to do? Ask yourself, what builder best represents me in this story? Am I the one who builds my life on Christ, or am I the one who builds my life on all of these other things? Let's bow. Father, we thank you. As we pray, God, to you, we thank you so much that you have given us the greatest gift in Jesus. You've called us not to put our hope and our trust in things, not to put our hope and our trust in jobs, not to put our hope and trust in resources, but to hear your words and to not just hear them, but to obey them. Because the blessing does not come in just hearing. The blessing comes when I obey them. So God, I pray even now for the person who's been putting off for the longest time to put their faith and trust in your son, Jesus, and what he's done for them on the cross, through his death, through his burial, through his resurrection. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that we would be people of faith, that we would look at storms when they come in life, but we won't be discouraged because we know the one who controls the storms. We know the one who preserves through the storm. We know the one who is faithful in the storm. I pray even if we're the person who's like the one who built his house on the sand, I pray that you would show us that our life is headed for disaster quick. But I pray that you would also show us that there's a better way, that we can put our faith and our trust in you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if this is you today and you're saying, you know what, I need to put my faith and trust in Jesus because I've been doing things my own way for too long. I've been going my own path. I've been listening to all the other voices except the voice of God. I've been obedient, not to Jesus, but I've been obedient to my flesh. I've been obedient to the things that I want. And what I've quickly realized is that it has not held up. But I want to put my faith in the great I am. I want to put my faith in Christ Jesus, the one who died for my sins, the one who rose again so that I could have new life. So if this is you and you're saying, you know what, I want to give my life to Christ today. I want to put my faith and trust in Jesus. I don't want to just be a hearer, but I actually want to be a doer. I actually want to put in motion what he's called me to do. And what he's called me to do is to put my faith and trust in him. So if this is you and this is your desire, I'm not going to ask you to stand up, raise your hand. I'm not even going to ask you to come to the front. I'm just going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me right where you are in the comfort of your own seat. If you're ready to make a commitment to Christ, just say these words. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I put my faith and trust in what you've done for me. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose again so that I could have new life. Father, thank you for adopting me into your family. Thank you for giving me new life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for the chief cornerstone. As we close and as we prepare to go, you guys can pull out those worship guides at the bottom. It has my decision today. If you made a decision to give Christ your life, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you've never made a commitment to Jesus, what I want you guys to do is to pull out that card, check that box that says, I'm committing my life to Christ today. We're just going to talk to you.